At the Fallbrook Church, we've been doing a series on the practice of the church. And just to ask a question, how many of you like to go to a doctor who knows about medicine but doesn't practice it? Oh, we wouldn't, right? We want to go to a doctor who practices medicine, or a lawyer who knows about laws but doesn't practice. I think we also today want to see a church who doesn't only know about the Word of God, but that actually what? Practices it. Practices it. And we were looking in the book of Acts at several of these practices. One of them was the practice of witnessing. Is that an easy practice? It's not always easy. For some, it's easier than for others. Yes. But it's something that we are all called to do by God's grace, and we are able to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We also learned that through the practice of giving. Is that an easy practice? For some of us, it isn't. It's just hard to give something that we think is ours. But the Bible, again, teaches us that the early church, the early believers, they practiced in giving. And they gave abundantly to the church. And the church grew. Not only did it grow, but it was able to proclaim this beautiful message to other parts of the world. We also learned that the church practiced oneness, unity. Is that something easy? It's not. It's hard. Be it work, home, or church. It's not something that comes naturally to us human beings. But God, in His Word, encourages us to be united. Amen? To be one in Him through the power of His Holy Spirit. And as I was looking at all these practices of the early church, I came to the person of Stephen. One of these young, vibrant men. And thank God for people who are willing to share the good news. Amen? We've been enjoying Pastor Jeff Harper and his presentations. Amen. And God seeks people, men and women, to share the good news. And God sought out this young man named Stephen. And he had this important task of serving the widows of his church. And serving all the widows of his church. It seems like he wasn't only fluent in Aramaic, but he was also fluent in Greek. And he was able then to reach out to diverse groups of people and was able to share with them what God had shared to the church. And so he was not only a good administrator, he was not only someone who was willing to serve in whatever capacity, but he was also a preacher of the word. Amen? He was a preacher of the word. And I believe that all these church members of the early church were able to witness, they were able to give, they were able to be one, they were able to speak the truth because they were practicing selflessness. What were they practicing, church family? Selflessness. They were putting self aside. Is that easy? That's very hard. How many of you have seen in the news somebody that's gone into a house that's been burning and rescued somebody out of the flames? Or somebody who jumped into a car because the car was on fire and they risked their own life and they brought this person out. And what I've heard time and time again is that they were not thinking about who? They were not thinking about themselves. They were thinking about the other person. They're thinking about the other person. And this is something that characterized Stephen and characterized the early church. If you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 6 and verse 8, it gives us these qualities that he had. Qualities that we as Christians should have. And this is Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And it says there, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders," and what else? "And signs among the people. full of faith and power. This again was power because he had put what? Self aside. He said, God, I'm putting my wants, my needs, my selfish thoughts, and I'm asking you to fill this heart. Amen? He was asking for that faith and that power. And so, being led by the Holy Spirit, he went to the synagogues around to share the good news of Jesus. But do you think this was good news for Stephen? Was this good news to share Jesus among the Jews? Was this something that was popular? Something that was easy? Not at all. It wasn't. And this is what happened. Verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the Synagogue of Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom, and what else? And the spirit by which he spake. He was only not wise in saying biblical truth, but he was very wise in how he shared this truth. Amen? It was not just sharing the knowledge, but how he shared it. And they were not able to resist that kind of wisdom. The Bible continues telling us, because of this, they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They hired people to say, hey, Stephen has been saying bad things about Moses and about God. And the religious leaders started saying, really? Well, what has he been saying? So they stirred up the people, says verse 12, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Verse 13 again, it tells us, they set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against what? Against this holy place and the law. For we had heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, what did they see? They saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Stephen was not angry. Stephen was not nervous or ashamed of what he was doing. He was calm. God's Holy Spirit was with him. And what people were seeing in front of him was a different kind of person. A Christ-like person. A person who had put self aside. And even though his accusers were saying these things about him, and he knew that this could put him in prison, they knew that this could even cost him his life. Because had it cost the life of Jesus? Yes. And this young man, full of the Holy Spirit, instead of shying away, because he was selfless, he was courageous to say the truth. Does it take courage to say the truth, brothers and sisters? Yes. It takes courage, great courage, to tell the truth. I find myself many times in a situation where I'm not sure. And why do I find myself in that situation? Because what will they think of me? Will they be my friends, continue to be my friends? If I tell them the truth, will they still like me? And all these, you could say, self-centered thoughts start popping up. And we start thinking, well, maybe not yet. Maybe in a month, maybe in a year. I'll bite my tongue, right? I won't say anything yet. But God is calling us to share the truth. Amen? And that's what we've been doing here at the Fallbrook Church. We've been sharing the truth that we found in Scripture. And so he was very courageous in sharing this. And this is what chapter 7, verse 1 tells us. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our fathers Abraham. And starting with Abraham, he began to explain to them the history of redemption, the history of salvation, a history that is found in God's word. Basically, Stephen was saying, hey, I am one of you. I am an Israelite. I am a Hebrew. I know this story. And it's a sad story. Sad, you say? It's a sad story. Because it's a story of a God of love. A God who cares. A God who constantly, patiently going after his people. And it's people, what were they doing constantly? They were constantly rejecting him, saying, no, not now. Maybe later. No, my friends don't hang out with you, God. I can't hang out with you either. And so he presents the story of Abraham and how to Abraham was promised the seed that would come and how they would have to go into bondage for many years and how God would bring them out of bondage and through Joseph, how he would deliver them from famine. If we go to verse 20, chapter 7, verse 20, it says, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And there in verse 23 tells us that when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And there he invited them to leave Egypt. And God, with a mighty power, delivered them from slavery, delivered them from the Egyptians. And verse 32 tells us, saying, I am the God of thy father and the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And there Moses trembled and he didn't even dare see the Lord. In verse 35, it tells us that the people refused to follow Moses and they didn't want him to be their judge. And verse 37 tells us that Moses said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, he shall ye hear. Who was Moses talking about here, brothers and sisters? Jesus. Jesus. A prophet he would raise up among you. And what did the Israelites do? Did they listen to God? It continues saying that no, they sought after a calf. They sought after idols. Then later God brought Solomon. And what did Solomon build? A temple. And yes, they were concerned because of the message that Stephen was giving. Stephen was telling them that this temple would be what? Destroyed. It would be destroyed. The city will be destroyed. This place that you call holy will be destroyed. But don't worry. God doesn't live in temples, does he? Can a temple contain him? In no way can it contain God. If you go with me to verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought it with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the day of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build for me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Do you think the people were happy when they were listening to this message? They were not happy. They were not. You're continuing to preach the truth or the words that actually got you into trouble, Stephen. And it tells us that Stephen, seeing their unrest, seeing their faces boiling in madness, he said the following words, verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets had not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, but have not kept it." And verse 54 tells us, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Does it take courage to tell the truth, brothers and sisters? Amen. It takes courage, and it takes selflessness. Selflessness. To tell the truth. They got mad, and we know what happened to Stephen, right? What did they do with Stephen? They stoned him. He became the first martyr of the Christian church. They grabbed him, they took him out, and they stoned him. But I want you to look at the last verses of this chapter. I think these are very important for all of us. Verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said," behold, he didn't keep quiet, but he said what he saw, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned them. And who was there as a witness? They laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul." Another young man. "And as they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." What did he do? He fell asleep, but he first of all said these words, "Lord, take my life, but forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is forgiving others something that is easy, brothers and sisters? Forgiving friends, family members? How about your enemies, like Stephen's enemies?
Very hard.
Very hard. Almost impossible to forgive enemies. It seems almost impossible to forgive sometimes our own friends. How could you do this to me? But the Bible tells us that it's possible when we put what aside?
Self.
When we put self aside. You might ask yourself, how can I put self aside? How can I do this? Can we do this on our own power?
No.
We can't. It's only by the grace of God can we put self aside. It's only when we invite Jesus into our life daily, when we take the time to read scripture, when we take the time to pray, when we ask God, "I can't, but you can. What for me is impossible, for you all things are possible." All things are possible. And you might think, okay, Pastor Sam, I like the idea of witnessing. I like the idea of giving. I like the idea of oneness. But this idea of selflessness, boy, seems hard. It seems difficult to practice. And not only this, but it doesn't seem worth it. Doesn't seem worth it. Too big of a sacrifice to pay. Look at Stephen, a young man, bright, eloquent, could have had an amazing career in the church, and he gave it all up. He gave his life up for being selfless. Was it worth it, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
It was worth it. Because who was present at that time? Saul. Who would become later? Paul. The greatest evangelist that the church has ever had. Amen? And it's Paul who writes these things that we find in Scripture. I ask you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And we will look at this famous passage written by Paul. And this is how we can be selfless. This is how Stephen learned to be selfless. This is how Paul learned to be selfless. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Like-minded. Having the same love, being of what? One accord, of one mind. And you can say, how? How can we be all this? Verse 3, let nothing be done through what? Strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than what? Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Another version says, but emptied himself, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen? How, brothers and sisters, if we have the mind of Jesus, the only way, and that's how Stephen did it, he had an example to follow. He could look back and say, Jesus did it when he was on the cross. He was able to forgive his enemy, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul was able to do the same. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know people who are doing things that they don't know they are not supposed to be doing? I know people. I know it's not anybody in here. People I'm praying for, asking God, God, may they see your face. Amen? When people look at us, may they see the face of an angel. Amen? A messenger of God who's courageous, who's not afraid to tell the truth, but also who's not afraid to forgive those who do them harm. Amen? This is the practice. This is, I believe, the practice upon which all the other practices of the church depend on. To be able to witness, we need self to go away. To be able to give, we need self to be put aside. To be able to be one, according to Paul too, We need to look at others better than ourselves. But this is possible when we keep our eyes on Jesus. When we ask His Holy Spirit to put in us that same feeling, that same thought, that same mindset of emptying this body of self. It is a practice that we want to practice, brothers and sisters. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. It's time to share Him like never before. Even if people get mad at us. Even if people get mad at us. What a great opportunity. And because of Stephen's example, the same Spirit that dwelt in him can dwell in us too. And can help us proclaim this message that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing together our final hymn, our hymn of dedication, hymn number 319, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.